The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
The things I have done now for a long time is I read the Bible before I go to bed at night, and just everybody else has already retired. And I don't know why, but as I was reading it the other night before I went to bed, I went to bed, and the Lord woke me up. I think it was about 2:30 or 3:30 in the morning. And some of you preachers, no doubt this has happened to you, but the Lord woke me up, and it was Friday evening. And so when he woke me up early that morning, 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, he gave me the outline that I'll preach tonight. And so in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 11, the Bible says, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." I'd like to speak tonight on the missing piece of the puzzle. The missing piece of the puzzle. I'm so glad that there is no missing piece of the puzzle when it comes to what our Heavenly Father has done. I'm so glad there is no missing piece of the puzzle when it comes to what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. But could you imagine living on earth with there being no Savior? Could you imagine? Could you imagine not being saved? Could you imagine, if you will, please, not knowing for sure if you were to die that you would, without a shadow of a doubt, without any question, without any hesitation, know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? I feel sorry tonight for the religious crowd that's out there that knows not Christ as Savior. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for children that are not raised where the Bible is lifted up, where the Bible is pointed to, and where the Bible is an everyday occurrence and practice. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for people that are married without children that know not Christ as Savior, and they have to work out their own solutions to their own complicated relational problems. I feel sorry for them. My dear wife and her daddy that lives with us, they have something in common that I find is really remarkable, and that is they like to put together puzzles. And oftentimes my dad would be upstairs putting together a puzzle, and my dear wife would scurry up the steps to be able to put together a puzzle. And you know, it's quite discouraging, I'm sure, as you put together a puzzle and you get down to where the last pieces do belong, and you can't find the piece because the piece is missing. And I want you to think about that when it comes to the local church tonight. I want you to think about that when it comes to your service for God. I want you to think about that tonight as it comes to your relationship and where you belong in that which is the perfect picture that God has for you in your married life and your child rearing, and that which is your relationships and your friends. You know, when you put together, and I've seen some people do this, when they put together a puzzle, my mother did this. She also really liked puzzles. And my dear mother would sit there, and my mother would put together a puzzle. And as she would put together a puzzle, at the very end, Mama would take, and she would find some type of cardboard that would be straight. And she would take and put glue all over that piece of cardboard, and she'd take a brush and she would spread it ever so evenly so, and then after that she would take the puzzle and she would try to put it on the back, which sometimes was challenging, on the back of that glued piece of cardboard. And sometimes she would frame them. She'd frame them. And she put them up on the wall. Oh, and sometimes, oh yes, my mother would. She would sign them. You know, it was art that she drew, and she would sign them. And we'd walk in a room, there'd be three or four of them hanging up on the wall. And sure enough, you look there, and there'd be Mama's signature right on there, just like it was a piece of art that she would draw. I can't imagine, however, how frustrated it would be to try to put together a puzzle where the piece is missing. Can I tell you tonight that you're important to God? Can I tell you tonight that every single one of you is loved by our Heavenly Father? Can I tell you tonight that every single one of you has a place in serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I tell you tonight that there's not one thing that God does not notice about you? Oh, He knows every hair that's on your head. He knows every trouble that finds its way to your heart. He knows every problem that challenges you in your decision making. He knows every difficult time that you have in trying to be a godly daddy or a godly mama and rearing your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But let's notice some similarities tonight as we talk about the missing piece of the puzzle. Statement number one is we compare that which is the puzzle, if you will, the complete packet to those that are believers. And as we compare you to that which is a piece of the puzzle, may I say, number one, God bought you. God bought you. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God has bought you. Oh, much like you go to the store and perhaps you go down the puzzle aisle, if they have such, and you look at all the puzzles that's on display and you say, I'd like to buy a country scenery. I'd like to buy a cabin scenery. Or maybe you like to buy a fishing scenery. Maybe you like to buy a scenery that has deer in it or antelope in it or that which is wild game that's running throughout the field. And you say, that's the one I choose. That's the one I choose. Well, can I tell you tonight, God chose you. Can I tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ cares about you? Can I tell you that you are bought with a price tonight, and you ought to glorify God the way God says to glorify Him in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So statement number one, God bought you. Statement number two, God bought you to use you. So God did not buy you for you just merely to sit on a shelf. Oh, how tragic is it is when you maybe go to somebody's house that's talented, and maybe they're talented in putting together those puzzles, and you go to their game room, and maybe they have a closet door that they keep all the games in, and you open up the closet door, and you see five or six puzzles that's sitting there, and you can tell that, you know, they're old. Maybe you look at when they were bought, and they were bought in 1782 or something. I don't know. But you look at them and you see that these puzzles are of no use whatsoever. They're not bringing that which is beauty to the wall. They're not bringing that which is a conversation to the individual. They're not bringing that which, if you would please, encouragement to the downcast. They're not meeting the need that they ought to meet in somebody's life. Can I say that God bought you, but God bought you to be able to use you? There ought to be a time in your life when you say, okay, God, whatever you want, that's what I'll be willing to do. And by the way, that time in your life ought to take place every single day of your life. Now, why? Because the Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. All right? So not only has God bought you, but God has bought you to use you. We ought to decide tonight that we want to serve him. By the way, you've only got one life. It is soon be passed. And can I tell you, it doesn't matter what age you are. So sad have I preached the funerals of little babies. And so sad have I preached the funerals of those that were children. And so sad have I preached the funeral of those that are teenagers. And so sad have I preached the funerals of those that are middle age and those that are old age. And you don't know when your life is going to end. God said it's appointed unto man once to die. Appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You say, but preacher, here's what I'll do. I'll exercise and take as many vitamins as I possibly can. I've seen people who exercise and take vitamins that drop dead. Can I tell you, it's not a matter of the vitamins you take that might increase your lifestyle, but God is the one that has put an appointed time on the calendar for you. Now, if that be true, you ought to study the life of Hezekiah and understand that when Hezekiah had a dreadful disease and he was there about to die, that he climbed on his bed, he turned his back to the world and put his face towards the wall, and he cried out to God, and he reminded God of all the things that God that he'd done for God, and God said, okay, I'll extend your days, and gave him 15 more years to live. You say, who can do that? God. That's why young people ought to decide, stop playing around and serve God. That's why adults ought to decide, stop playing around and serve God. Ought not be a question in your heart, should I go to church on a Sunday night? Ought not be a question in your heart, should I show up for Bible study on a Wednesday night? Ought not be a question in your heart, should I serve God and put God first by passing out a gospel tract? No, we ought to decide that we're going to serve God with every fiber of energy that we have left in our physical bodies. Why? Because you have not a clue when that day will be your final day. God bought you. God bought you to use you. Statement number next. You being used will help someone else. You being used. You know your life is that which is a testimony. You know your life is that which is an influence. Oh, you see somebody getting up and they sing a song and you say, I could do that. I could do that. And you see somebody getting up and they give a testimony and you say, I've got one of those. I've got one of those. You see somebody getting up and they open the Bible and they try to preach the best they can and you say, oh, I like to do that. I like to do that. You hear somebody telling about how God blessed them because God answered their prayer and it encourages you to pray. You hear about somebody that goes out and they give the gospel and somebody gets saved and you say, boy, I think I could show somebody how to be saved. You look at somebody else's children that are young and they're raising them according to Bible principles and they're living for God the best they can in their little bodies and you say, I think I could be that type of parent also. I'm saying this, I'm saying that you being used of God can help someone else. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, wait a minute. That was written to a local church. And what does that mean? That means inside the local church, you can encourage somebody else. Right. That means that inside the local, oh, by the way, can I help you out just a little bit? And I'll take an amen on this if you'll give it. Everybody's important inside the local church. You say, but that person doesn't have as much money as I. That person doesn't have as much intelligence as I. That person is not as strong as I am. Well, thank you for telling all of us that about you. We never would have figured it out. But can I tell you this? That everybody's important in the local church. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, how skinny you are, or how wide you are. Everybody's important in the local church. It does not matter how much you know or how much you do not know. It does not matter what community you live in. It doesn't matter who your papa is or who your mama is. Everybody's important inside of the local church. And John chapter 1 and verse 40, here's what we see about Andrew. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 40, says, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonah. The Bible says, Jesus speaking here, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone. Now, wait a minute. We know about Peter. We know about Peter that Peter oftentimes would open his mouth and say something, and then he would think it through after he said something. We know about Peter. We know about Peter, if you will. He was the one that the Bible gives us a trace of understanding how a backslider begins to live. We know about Peter. But we also know that Peter was the one that preached on the day of Pentecost. We also know that Peter, under his preaching, had over 3,000 people that came to know Christ. We know that. Now, wait a minute. I want to submit to you tonight. There would not have been a Peter had there not have been an Andrew. You see, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying being used of the Lord, letting God use you. It doesn't matter if you're timid and shy like an Andrew. It doesn't matter. God can use you to be able to reach somebody else with the gospel, help somebody else to live for God, and because you help that other person to live for God, they might go forward to do greater works than you ever did. But that's okay, because you're not in it for you, are you? You see, we understand this. We understand that you being used will help someone else. We have the story, if you will, please, in Acts chapter 2 about Peter. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, and Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Galilee and all that dwell in Jerusalem, it says, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. And then he says down in verse 41, same chapter, chapter 2 of Acts, he says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. So God gave evidence that he used Peter. Now, why did he use Peter? I submit to you because there was quiet Andrew. There was Andrew. May I say tonight that there was John the Beloved. John the Beloved is the one that our Lord looked at over and over again, did not have a boastful type of disposition. Was not somebody, if you would please, that I would consider phlegmatic or sanguine. Phlegmatic or sanguine. Oh, probably melancholy would be him. He was inward. He was quiet. He was somebody almost withdrawn. He was by himself, but he was John the Beloved. And John the Beloved would think about things before he would say things, most opposite of Peter, who would say things then think about things. And so, but here he is, and he's the one that our Lord called John the Beloved. By the way, he was the only disciple that stood at the cross where our Savior looked at him and said, behold thy mother. He was talking about his own mama. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that somebody paid attention to that. Somebody saw him standing there. Somebody heard the Lord say as he talked about John, and he called him John the Beloved. I'm saying that you being used will help someone else. There was Barnabas. Barnabas, of course, had a great influence on Saul's life. Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Here Saul had received Christ as Savior, and Saul was just so excited, you know. He wanted to tag up with those that knew the Bible the best, and so what did he do? He tried to tag up with those that had followed the Lord, those that were the closest to the Lord. Well, all of a sudden, when he comes to those that are known as the disciples of Christ, what takes place is they don't want nothing to do with him. They're fearful of him. But here comes old Barnabas. You don't read much about Barnabas, but every time you read something about Barnabas, he's always trying to help somebody. And so here comes Barnabas, and Barnabas said, wait a minute, before you put him aside and before you don't receive him in, he said, I witnessed it, I saw it. I saw him down on that road of Damascus, and on the road of Damascus, he was preaching boldly the word of God, and on the road of Damascus, God was using him. And what took place is now the disciples, according to his word of testimony about this one that was called Saul, persecutor of the Christians, was received in. Oh, don't forget it was Barnabas that after Saul of Tarsus went back to his place, the church at Jerusalem said, hey, we need somebody to go down. We heard about that church down in Antioch. We heard there's a great revival taking place down at Antioch, and we need somebody to go check it out. You remember the story? So Barnabas was the one that they chose to go down to check it out. He went down to Antioch, and he found out it's true. All these people are getting saved, and so he had an idea. I'm going to travel over to Tarsus. I'm going to find that young man called Saul. I'm going to take him with me. So we went all the way from that which is Jerusalem over to that which is Antioch, and then from Antioch all the way back over to Tarshish. And he picked up Saul and he said, hey, come back with me and let's go back to Antioch and let's try and help those young believers that God saved. And the Bible says that they were 2 years together there helping those young believers. Hey, wait a minute. During those 2 years, this young man by the name of Saul was walking beside a quiet man by the name of Barnabas, and all of a sudden you see Saul, who is now Paul, gets on fire, and he says to Barnabas, hey, let's go again and check out all the churches and see how they do that we have preached on to and that we have served. Hey, I'm telling you, something caught. How did something catch? It caught because of a guy by the name of Barnabas. See, what you do does affect somebody. You misunderstand yourself, I do believe. Sometimes I think that perhaps we think, well, I'm too quiet and God cannot use me. Two of those gentlemen I named tonight were gentlemen that had a great influence on people. And these two gentlemen that I named tonight was very reserved. They were very much to themselves. Don't forget, we talked about Andrew reaching his brother, Simon, who became later known as Peter. Don't forget, we talked about Barnabas. Barnabas, quiet, but yet he reached out to Saul, who later became known as the great apostle Paul, writing 14 books of the New Testament, penning those books, if you include the book of Hebrews. Now, can I tell you, I'm saying this tonight, don't discount yourself. You say, but I'm just a piece, but you're an important piece. But you don't understand, preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher, and I don't sing in the choir, but you're important to God. But you don't understand, all I do is come to church, but you're influencing somebody and you help somebody. Every time you come to church, somebody sees you, somebody watches you, somebody pays attention to you. You stay faithful to God and let God use you. I'm saying you're bought. I'm saying that God bought you. God bought you to be used. You being used of God can help someone else. Let me give you just two more thoughts and I'm done tonight, and I'll conclude it, and we'll go eat chili. Don't close your mind yet. Without you doing your part, the puzzle will never be complete. Without you doing your part, the puzzle. Oh, but I'm just a little person. Oh, it's those little pieces that complete the entire puzzle. I've never seen somebody frame a puzzle that had a piece missing. I've never seen somebody take pride in a puzzle that wasn't complete. You see that if there was no Andrew, might not have been no Peter. If there was no Peter, there'd be no Pentecost. If there was no Pentecost, there'd be no 3,000 plus that got saved. There'd be no changed homes. Thank God there was somebody by the name of Andrew. Oh, but he didn't have a glowing personality and he didn't have a voice that would be raised to the heavens. No, but he was the right piece at the right time holding the puzzle together. Oh, be careful now. Be careful. I love you. I'm telling you, be careful. Be careful not to chase personalities that are all out here and think that you are not important because you're not out here. Don't get tripped up by that. Well, I've got a bus captain, and he's got a great personality. He would not be the bus captain that he is tonight if it was not for you. Well, I've got a choir director, and he or she, they've got a great personality. There would be no choir if you were not in it. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I don't shout amen in church, and I don't shout hallelujah in church, and nobody comes up to me, and nobody wants me to sign their Bible, and nobody wants me to be the one, if you will, that is waiting outside for somebody to come up and shake my hand. Oh, that's quite all right, because God knows who you are. You don't have to change your personality. in order to be recognized, loved, and blessed by God. If there would be no John the Beloved, there would be no one standing there to take care of our Lord's mother. If there would be no John the Baptist, there'd be nobody crying in the wilderness about the appearance of our Savior. If there'd be no John the Baptist, Jesus would have never been baptized. Can I tell you, listen, you ought to thank God tonight for those that are standing. Oh, they might be in the shadows. They might be quiet. But I'm saying tonight, thank God for those that are standing in the shadows, those that are quiet. You are important too. Amen. Here it is tonight. I'm done. I'm saying God bought you. God bought you to be used. You being used will help someone else. Without you doing your part, the puzzle will never be complete. Here it is, last statement I have tonight, and that is this. You're important no matter how you feel. You're important no matter how you feel. Don't go by your feelings. Feelings are deceptive. You say, well, I tell you what, I'm in the church and I don't feel loved. Who are you trying to feel loved by? Are you really coming to be loved by man? Or are you coming tonight, self-evaluation, please, because you love him? If we love him more, might it be that he would send us more who would love us? Now, I'll give you some practical hints, if I may, if you don't get mad at me. And that would be this. If you want to make friends, you have to be a little friendly. And so I want a friend. And so I go up to Brother Jonathan. I want a friend. He's standing up now. I go up to Brother, I have to help him sometimes. And so I go to Brother Jonathan, I want a friend. And I just stand there, and he's standing there.
Hi. Good day. Over 900 in church. Hello? Okay, fine. Hi. How you doing?
You know, you have to talk a little bit. If somebody comes up to you and say, hi, how are you doing? It would be nice if you said, fine. If they say, hi, how are you doing? You could say, hi, fine. You'd be surprised if you ask somebody a question, they might even answer you back.
Like Whataburger?
No. Do you like Whataburger?
Yes, sir.
Do you like Griff's?
I do.
Do you like All Food?
I do.
You have to talk a little bit. You have to hold some type of conversation. Now, I love you. I do. I'm so glad. I'm honored to be your pastor. Oh, am I honored? I said, I'm honored to be your pastor. But can I say this tonight? Thank you. Can I say this tonight? You're important no matter how you feel. Well, you know, I feel like I just don't belong. Well, I just don't feel like anybody loves me. Well, I just don't feel happy inside. Well, I just don't feel accepted. All of that is the state of your mind. Don't let the devil play tricks on your mind. Here's what the Bible says, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, last verse I'll read. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, here it is. Talking about the heart now. You ready? Talking about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Here it is. Listen to it. Who can know it? You say, preacher, I can know my own heart. That's not what God says. God says you can't know your own heart. Who can know it? It's talking about you. Oh, wouldn't it be good tonight to finish the puzzle? Wouldn't it be good tonight to be able to say, I'll tell you what, I finished it, I completed it, I did what I was supposed to do, and I know that I pleased God. That'd be a good thing to do. And let God use you. Don't be a personality chaser. Don't do that. Don't say, well, I've got to be like so-and-so because everybody likes so-and-so. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you. Don't try and become somebody else. You'll fail every time. Let God use you the way that God wants to use you. And let God be the one that uses you the way that God wants to use you. Now, dear Father, tonight we thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.